Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on the third Sunday of Easter. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear the Gospel from St. John and talk about another post-resurrection appearance. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
If you or people you know battle with addiction, there is help from Catholic Charities. Weekly meetings entitled Freedom in Christ, Loosening the Chains of Addiction, are conducted at the Healthy Living Center, 1125 Southport Avenue in Corpus Christi, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Additional classes are held on Wednesdays at St. Anthony's Church in Robstown, and on Thursdays in Alice at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. For complete information, call 361-687-6175. There is help.
Quality furniture, housewares, appliances, toys, sporting goods, hardware, and much more will be on display at the rummage sale at St. Thomas the Apostle Parish Hall in Robstown. The dates are Friday and Saturday, April 26th and 27th from 8:30 a.m. till 4 p.m. both days. Proceeds benefit not only the parish, but the youth group as well. St. Thomas the Apostle Church may be found at 16602 FM 624, just 5 miles from Five Points. To donate items or have your questions answered, call John Harris at 361-946-9104.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you on this April morning?
Very well, Barbara. And yourself?
Doing well, thank you. It's a lovely time of the year.
It is. Happy Sunday to all of our listeners, and may this be a beautiful week for you.
And we're still in the Easter season.
We're still there.
Yeah. Well, we have another gospel this morning from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Right. And I just want to comment, it's a rather lengthy one, but it's one that we all know, and so we'll kind of talk about the first part in the first half of the show, if you don't mind. Then in the second part, we'll take on the second part, which is a very personal thing in Jesus' encounter with Peter.
Well, and in some of the parishes, they may just read part of the gospel.
Right. That's an option today. So just in case any of you realize or hear that, but there's an option, but it's in two parts. But we're going to read the whole thing. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together with Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll also come with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came to the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." and none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this to signify what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, this first part of the Gospel, it's a very similar situation to what we heard several weeks ago in the Gospel about the fishing, you know, the disciples and fishing and casting their nets.
Well, that's right. And of course, we all know that they were fishermen, most right. of them. Of course, Matthew was a tax collector, but mm-hmm. most of these that we see here in the Gospel today, and many of Jesus' disciples were fishermen, so they're... What's interesting is that after all these events of that happened in Jerusalem, which is in the southern part, we now find the disciples back in their home place near the Sea of Tiberias, continuing their profession.
Right.
They're fishermen, and so they're going about their job. I just can't. You know, one of the things I think it's exciting in reading the gospel, meditating on the gospel, is really trying to put ourselves into their shoes. Yes, they went back to their profession, but I cannot believe that it wasn't with a different mindset, with a different spirit. As we read last Sunday, with a different calmness, that fear is gone now. The future for them is certainly uncertain, and at the end of the gospel, we see Jesus prophesying, or not prophesying, telling Simon how his life's going to end, which is not going to be pretty.
Right.
But still, they're back where they were and doing their profession. What's interesting in this, as in the other case, as you mentioned, they had not caught anything. They'd been at it all night and still didn't catch anything. But when Jesus says, "Throw your nets to the right side," it's like there's no hesitation. It's they're in another world. Not another world, another dimension of personal growth, of mm-hmm. personal faith. And so that faith has kind of matured, I would say, a bit into a love for Jesus, even though not all of them recognize, but there's mm-hmm. something probably about the setting where they were and a certain peace inside that if this person said, "Cast your net," that let's do it, you right. know, without the hesitation that was before in kind of the grumbling or complaining, right. "Is this guy crazy? We've already been mm-hmm. at it all day." It's a kind of an immediate thing. Mm-hmm. They did it. And when they pulled the fish, of course, then the disciple whom Jesus loved was the first to recognize that it was Jesus, and that's John.
The beloved disciple.
The beloved disciple, which is also, if we link that, because he says to Peter, "It is the Lord." Mm-hmm. If you remember in the resurrection scene from the Gospel of St. John, that when Mary Magdalene came and said to Jesus, to Peter, that they have taken the body, we don't know where they put it, then Peter and the beloved disciple, so John and Peter again, rush toward the tomb. John arrives first, the beloved disciple. He peers in, sees the wrappings, does not see the body, but he lets Peter go in first. And then he follows in, and they believe that he's risen from the dead. So you find it here too. It's like John is that inspiration, that contemplative side of the church, who finds it, I won't say easier to believe, but certainly is more in tune with the life of the Lord. But he says to Peter, it's almost Peter, you are the one that needs to proclaim this. It is the Lord. So what I'm getting at here is that there's always two sides, more sides to the church in the life of a community. And we need to respect and understand all dimensions of the church. There's a contemplative side of church, a prayerful side. But there's also then the more active and proclaiming side. But they have to go together. Also within ourselves, we need time to spend with Jesus, to pray with him, to be in his presence, in order to be able to proclaim. So I think this little scene of John recognizing first that it is the Lord, telling mm-hmm. them to cast their nets. They bring in the haul of fish, and John says, it's the Lord. But he says it to Peter, and Peter is the one then who really is beginning to emerge now as sort of the leader, but needs John, needs that contemplative side of life.
Mm-hmm. And when you said that we have the active part of our faith, would that be like the different ministries that we have in our parishes?
Right. Sure. Mm-hmm. And I think if you go back even to the scene of Martha and Mary, when Jesus was a guest in their home and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to him speak. And Martha was busy about other things and complaining, grumbling, again, going back to our word of life right. for April, grumbling about her sister not helping and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Jesus simply says, Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. Mary's chosen the better part. So he's not telling her not to work. He's not telling Peter that your faith is not as strong as John's. But it says we need both. So in our ministries, whether it's ministry within our home, family, et cetera, or in the church or in the city, and we're really ministering to others, it has to be rooted in this love relationship with the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that as we are ministering to others, and many times, as we read last week, the works of mercy, the corporal works of mercy especially, people that we encounter that are in hard times, it's almost like that contemplative side. If it's there in us, if we spent time in that prayer, we have that feeling that it is the Lord. Whatever you do, the least you've done to me. That is a post-resurrectional moment, encounter with people who are the least, the poor, the hungry, the imprisoned. And we don't, when we grumble or when we judge, we see the human side of that person. But the spiritual side, the John, the contemplative side in us says, no, it's the Lord.
See Jesus and all those people.
Right. Now, it's the Lord. Minister to him. Minister to her. Feed her. Feed him, etc. Give them clothing. Instruct them. Admonish them if there's something that needs to be admonished. So, but we have to have that recognition that it is the Lord that is now risen from the dead and is present in each one of us, especially those who are in need.
Well, and it's a wonderful thing for us to work on during this Easter season.
Exactly. You know, Easter, we just can't sit here and enjoy the springtime and enjoy the music and stuff, but we also need to get to work and do what the Lord asks us to do.
Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation on the second part of this gospel. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. The first annual Spring Fiesta, following the morning trail ride at Immaculate Conception Mission in Concepcion on Saturday, May 4th, is sure to be a huge success. When the riders arrive around noon, the fiesta begins with great live music from many groups, a street dance, great food, a variety of booths, games and a train ride for the children, arts and crafts, a silent auction and rummage sale, and so much more. Admission is free, so make plans now to have a great time. For information please call 361-539-4322.
You deserve a night of loyalty. So St. Cyril and Methodius Catholic Church present their 8th annual Night of Royalty Dinner and Dance on Saturday, April 27th at Mansion Royal, 8001 South Padre Allen Drive. Dance till midnight to the music of Grupo Eterno. You can bid on both the live and silent auction items that suit your style. Dress is semi-formal to formal. Proceeds from this gala will be dedicated toward parking area improvements at the church. For pre-sale and table tickets, call Santos or Lori Ramirez at 548-2092.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, the second half of the gospel, it's interesting, and I hope that our listeners, if they didn't hear it in Mass this morning, you know, that they do read it, because it's wonderful. It's about Peter.
Right. And, of course, we you know, refer to the Pope as the successor of Peter. So in a very special way, because of his call, his ministry as the Bishop of Rome and the center of the universal church, as far as our unity goes, in a special way, it's spoken to him. But certainly all of us, bishops, priests, laity, religious, we all can identify with this.
Right.
I'd like to read it again just so that we refresh our memories of what we're talking about here. And it's a very powerful and moving part of the gospel at the end of the Gospel of John. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this to signify what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me."
You know, there's that significance in this gospel that Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And of course, you know, we know what happened. You know, there was the opportunity that Peter denied Jesus three times before the crucifixion.
Right. And it's... many say, and it certainly sounds logical, that it's an offset. Mm-hmm. You know, if you denied me, then I want you to profess three times that you do, so that you understand what those denials are. You know, on Good Friday, as we read that gospel, it really struck me, actually, as it was being read at the cathedral, and that those three denials, I don't know, this year were very powerful for me. I saw this man with him. Who? I don't even know what you're talking about. And certainly this man was one of them. He's a Galilean. Woman, I don't even know who you're talking about. So very specifically, Peter, three times, even though he was with Jesus, he followed him there to the house of the high priest. But then out in the garden said, "I don't know the man. I don't know this man." You know, this is something, again, trying to relate it to our own life, that we do too. So often, every time that we're not living according to the gospel, it's saying, "I don't know him." Or maybe something is, part of the gospel is a little bit too difficult for us. Forgive 70 times, seven times. I always go back to forgiveness because I think it's one of the hardest things for any of us in life to swallow our pride and to actually do. But each time that we're unwilling to fulfill a part of the gospel, we're saying, I don't even know who you're talking about. Well, it's Jesus who said, forgive. Yeah, but I don't know him, is basically what we're saying. Or any part of the gospel. You know, on the other side, I'm just thinking of the gospel of the woman who puts in the widow's mite, the small coin. And anyone who says, well, if I can't give this much, then I can't give anything, you know, because it's too small. Well, the gospel says, Jesus himself said, she gave more of what she had than the one that was able to freely give a bit more. But anytime we put ourselves down and say, well, I don't have anything to give, it's like you're saying, I don't know Jesus.
Because we all have something to give.
We have something to give, but it's also through him. And so this is why it's so important for all of us to know the gospel, to know that it applies to our life in every aspect. And so those, getting back to what we were talking about, those denials of Peter are basically saying to us that there are moments in our own life today sitting around the fire of life saying, I don't know who you're talking about. I'm not willing to stand up and say, yes, I believe in him, and yes, I believe in his gospel, and this is who I am. That's what Peter was doing.
And, of course, the realization came when the cock crowed, and he remembered what Jesus had told him a while back. The light bulb went off.
Exactly.
And he said, oh, my gosh.
Exactly. So now he's in a situation where he can, in a sense, redeem all of that. And Jesus says to him three times, do you love me? And it's always interesting to me that these three professions of love also are followed by a mandate. If you love me, then you're going to have to show it by your service. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus, love for the Savior is not just a feeling. It's not based on a feeling. It's also based in moving beyond ourselves because of his power in us, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, and expressing it through love of others. It's not something that we... Religion, faith, is not just a personal thing. Jesus always takes it out of the personal realm. It begins personal. Do you love me? That's personal. But if you do, then you have to tend my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep.
Take care of others.
We have to take care of others. And those go back to the corporal works of mercy that we spoke of last week again. There's these specific ways that we can do that. And so faith is linked to love. Love is an expression of faith. If you just say, I love God, but you don't tend to your neighbor, then you really don't know God. In fact, I know I've quoted this many times, but St. Teresa, the little flower, used to say, if you want to examine yourself on how much you love God, look at how much you love your neighbor. Because if you're not reaching out beyond yourself, then you're really not in tune with God and his love for you. Mm-hmm. Because God's love is reaching outside of the self. And so when we are able to say that God loves me, that God is reaching outside of himself, sharing himself with us, and if that is true, which it is true, then we have to do the same thing. We have the opportunity to reach outside of ourselves concretely in these expressions of love for neighbor, which expresses our love for God.
And it'd be so wonderful if more people did that. Because I think, you know, in any organization in our parishes, you'll have the few people that are doing so much, and the others are sitting by the sidelines, I like to say, and observing. And if everybody worked, it'd be such a beautiful thing.
Exactly. And it's, you know, people can say, well, it's a utopia. And it is, but if we did it, it wouldn't be, because we would have it. It would be concrete reality. But it all begins with believing in that love of God. I mean, I think this whole movement here with Peter is because, remember, he's been up on the Mount Tabor. He's experienced the transfiguration. He's seen the glory of Jesus. He's encountering him throughout, through the resurrection, through the hauling in of the fish, et cetera, et cetera. So he's beginning to experience this risen Lord, and he's being called out of himself. So Jesus is really laying the foundation for him for what he would meet as he goes now, as he moves to Rome and faces his own death for Christ. And, of course, we see in the Acts of the Apostles, which we're also reading during this Easter season, he's out proclaiming this Christ in a very bold way. It's all rooted in this personal relationship that he has with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Some of the research I did, it said, you know, this last part of it where he said, you know, someone else is going to lead you where I don't go. They say the scripture scholars think this was a reference to Peter's martyrdom.
Sure.
You know, because the gospel according to John was written some 30 years after Peter is thought to have been martyred in Rome, which was A.D. 64.
Right. Right.
Wow.
It certainly is a reference to that. And, you know, I think, again, trying to apply it to ourselves, Jesus really understands human life. Isn't it true in all of our lives? And if some of our listeners are very young, then you'll get there to what I'm talking about in a minute. And those of us that are a little more seasoned, we understand. I mean, when we're young, we can conquer the world. We can do anything. As a young priest, you know, I thought I had the world in my hands. And then you begin to run up against walls and things happen. And I was talking to some friends the other day, and they were talking about their son who's recently married. And, you know, life's a bowl of cherries or whatever you want.
It's
very
beautiful.
Idealistic, you know, the job's great. And they just said he hasn't encountered life yet.
Right.
And you give him time because life is our teacher. So Jesus is saying to Simon, okay, now you're professing your love, but I tell you that beware, be ready, and don't forget my love for you and your love for me, because you're going to be going places that you don't want to go, that you hadn't planned on going, that you're not in control of. Things are going to happen to you that you don't want to happen, that you're not in control of, but trust me. But once you have been tested, he says, in another place, then you are to also witness and to strengthen your brothers and sisters in faith. And after that, he says, follow me,
mm-hmm.
follow me.
Mm-hmm.
So life is something to be lived, not to let happen to us, but to embrace. So we invite all of us again during this Easter time and this coming week to remember that call of Jesus to each one of us. Do you love me more
mm-hmm.
than the rest?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we respond?
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing for us to meditate on. Well, Bishop, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. May your people exalt forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope for the rejoicing of the day of resurrection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.